Jesus' temptation. It's a sleeper. The minute you start reading it, you see eyes glaze over, arms fold, and heads go down, and it's not an attitude of prayer. You know, it's one of those stories that if you grow up in the church, you hear it over and over and over again. And then, come the first Sunday in Lent every year, and we have to hear it again. Now, one of the challenges of preaching a familiar story is to keep people's attention, and to be honest with you, I didn't know how I was going to do it. And then it dawned on me. It's not that we tell the story too often. It's that we don't listen to it. You know, we think we know the end, and so we just space out. I mean, why listen? The problem is we may not know what we think we know. So, we're told that Jesus is tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and has absolutely nothing to eat, and afterwards he is famished. Go figure. And so, Satan appears to him. And it only stands to reason that when Satan comes, the first thing he does is he looks around in the desert on the and he says, yeah, see all these stones? Turn them into bread. And what does Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone. Okay, now the one thing that the devil doesn't want is a scripture quoting preacher. And so Satan takes Jesus into Jerusalem and puts him on the pinnacle of a temple. Now, just in case you've never been there, being set on the pinnacle of the temple has been compared to being dangled out of the Empire State Building by your feet. It's high, it's narrow, and Jerusalem is a long way below, and there sits Jesus. And Satan, being Satan, he knows the scriptures too. And so he says, if you are the Son of God, and don't you love the way he keeps saying, if you are the Son? If you're the Son of God, then save yourself, because throw yourself down, because it's written that you will not dash your foot against a stone. To which Jesus replies, do not put your Lord to test. That's right. So now, out of total desperation, Satan takes Jesus to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in all of their grandeur, the Bible says. Can you imagine seeing all the kingdoms of the world and everything spectacular about them? And the devil says, you know, if you just bow down one time and worship me, it's all yours. And Jesus says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And with that, Matthew tells us that the devil left him, and suddenly the angels came and waited on him. Okay, now you've been through the sermon before, right? Because this is the place that I start telling you all about how we have to face our temptations the way Jesus faced his, right? I mean, that's the sermon, right? You can agree with me. I preached it. You preached it?
Do what?
You've preached it?
Oh, once or twice.
Yeah. We preached it. You've heard it. But that's not the point of the story. If you read the story, the point is not that we have to resist our temptations. That part's true. But the point is, we're not Christ. If we're like anyone in this story, it's Satan. Because you see, through the temptations, what Satan is trying to do is to get Jesus to bow to his will, to do things his way. And I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of my life and a lot of my prayers trying to get Jesus to see things my way. Just give me what I want, Lord. Because what I want isn't bad. I want children to be fed. I don't want people to suffer with the ravages of cancer. I want my children to be safe. I want the wars to stop, Lord. Just see it my way and do it my way. See, that's what Satan was doing too. Trying to get Jesus to do it his way. And it's not bad. If you're hungry, it's okay to eat bread. It's okay to trust God. That regardless of what happens to you in life, in the end, you're going to be safe. It's okay. It's okay to look at all the splendors in the world and be awed by them. It's okay. But once we get our will, our way, then the next time what we ask for is just a little different, a little more personal, a little more selfish. And suddenly, in place of wanting wars to end and children to be safe and all of those good things, we want him to endorse our kind of success. We want him to tell us what we want is okay. And in the end, he refuses to become who we want him to be, to bless what we want to have blessed, and to ignore what we want to ignore. But he won't do it. He wouldn't do it for Satan, and he won't do it for us. And because he won't yield, because he refuses to compromise the word of God despite all of our well-meaning and misguided endeavors, we have an important decision to make. We can become as serious and single-minded as he is in obedience to God, or we can attempt to keep one foot planted in the world and one foot planted in the gospel. And if that's our choice, it's not going to work, because the world will win out. And that's why in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prays that while we must be in this world, we won't be of this world. While we must minister to the needs of others, and while we must proclaim the gospel to those who do not believe, and while we must care for all creation, we must remember that above all, we belong to God, not to the world. So we must never have the same goals or desires that the world wants to give us. And how serious can that struggle become? How hard is it to maintain that allegiance to God and God alone? Well, in John 17, 15, we read these chilling words. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Friends, we've turned evil into that cute little Halloween figure with the horns and the red tights. But Jesus knows that evil is real. Jesus knows how tempting it can be because, friends, he sat in the desert and he was tempted. This wasn't a charade. This wasn't a game for our benefit. Jesus was tempted. He had to decide. Would he remain faithful to God? Or would he go the world's ways? Jesus knows. He knows how difficult it is to be in the world, to be tempted by those things that look so good, but that can become so evil. He was tempted, and he won. Do you remember what C.S. Lewis wrote about the Screwtape Letters? Remember, he said that what frightened him the most was that once he simply thought of evil, it exploited itself spontaneously in his life. And that is why Jesus refused to compromise. Because the moment we cave in, it takes over. He wouldn't compromise for Satan, and he won't compromise for us. While he is more than willing to pull us out of the murk and the mire of our sins, we must then choose to either stand with him or succumb to the temptations and return to the world. And yes, that really is our choice. But when you stop and think about it, it's not much of a choice, is it? To stand in God's glory or to join the darkness of the world. To God be the glory. Amen.